It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, another great episode. We have the heel of the show is Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you doing, sir?
And let's be clear, when you say heel, you mean that it's in the wrestling term heel, like a bad guy, because I ain't a tar heel.
Okay.
Let's hope not.
I'm a pirate, but I'm a heel.
And we have the baby face of the podcast.
Oh, baby face. Yeah. I appreciate it, David. That's what I'm in China Grove. It feels like I'm in Seattle. We've gotten about probably 10 inches of rain the last 3 days.
All right. Well, that small
Hello,
Texas
China
town.
Grove.
Actually, it's actually not near San Antonio. It's near Charlotte, but... Anyway, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited because out of the gate, we've been wanting to do this, by the way, folks, for the last few podcasts, kind of like a running joke with us or inside joke about, so let's go ahead and do it now. I'm going to put Kyle on the spot now, and I'm going to ask him his favorite World War II movies. I'm kidding.
Wow.
It's actually top five Adam Sandler movies because we were talking about Adam Sandler the other night, and we've missed it the last couple podcasts, so... How about, I'm going to put Kyle on the spot, your top five Adam Sandler movies. Go.
Right, number one, I got Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm going to probably go Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Number three, I'm going to go Waterboy.
Yeah.
Number four, I'm going to go The Longest Yard. I know some people didn't like this remake of The Longest Yard. I did. And number five, I think I'm going to go, oh, my God, I just forgot the name of the movie. Holy crap. help me out, Bubba, or David. You're the movie guy. He actually was just a co-star in this movie, not the main star. It was one of his first movies. It's about a rock band, Airheads. You know the movie I'm talking about? Yeah, Airheads. So that'll
right,
be number
Bubba,
five. I'm gonna go. You,
Bubba, you gotta go to your top five.
All right, that's what I agree with Kyle. As far as number one, I got to go Billy Madison. Number two, I'd say Big Daddy. Number three, let's see, I'll go Happy Gilmore. Number four, Waterboy. And number five, I'll go with Click.
All right. So for me, I'm going to go pretty much the same as Kyle, I think. Let's see, I'm going to go Billy Madison. And we're all going to go Happy Gilmore. We all agree on that. I'm going to go Waterboy is three. I've got to go with, I'm a huge fan of Drew Barrymore, so I've got to go with, let's see. I'm gonna go a double dip there. I'm gonna go The Wedding Singer and 50 First Dates because I love their chemistry between the two of them. I think they've been together three times in three different movies, but I'm gonna go with those five. And there's other. I love Big Daddy. There's plenty of them I love, but we'll have some fun there. And by the way,
I'm gonna give an honorable mention to it's animated. Eight Crazy Nights. I love Eight Crazy Nights.
Great, and Hotel Transylvania is very good too. All three of those are very good.
Yeah. And I'll give an honorable mention to, and really this one probably if I'd have thought about it could have made the top five is I think Grown Ups.
Oh yeah,
okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Grown Ups is pretty funny.
Yeah. So there we go. We want to get that out of the way. All the serious business. We have to talk about that. And
big announcement, David. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Adam Sandler's going to be on the podcast.
All right. He's going to be on the podcast. I like that. He is?
No.
Okay. Well, I thought you had some – you've got a huge Hollywood agent, so
– Well, you know, I was just messing with the fans, getting them excited, and then disappointing them like a true heel.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of being on the podcast, so I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this. I believe Adam Sandler actually relocated to Winston-Salem here in the last few years.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have to double-check that, but I had forgotten about that until...
Seriously?
Well,
yeah.
So you never know, folks. He may be on the podcast, not that he'd have to be in North Carolina to do so.
Bubba is ruthless. He's a great scheduler, and he's a great producer. So Adam Sandler, he's going to camp out on your lawn until you say yes. Please just go ahead. And say, Kyle can agree with me on this. Bubba will get crazy guests on and great
Bubba's
guests on.
Bubba's the devil.
Yeah, he'll like put a hex on you and you'll say yes. So just go ahead and surrender and say yes and be on the podcast. And
Adam Sandler. That's going to be our new goal. That'll be our new gimmick. Every podcast.
By the way, guys.
Adam Sandler on.
Guess who Bubba got? I will definitely tell you this. This is the people
Drew
will not
Barrymore.
Believe it. No, but he is actually very famous. We're going to have, from Super Bowl 20, Jim McMahon is going to be on the podcast. I can guarantee that right now. So for all the people name-dropping, Jim McMahon is going to be in the next couple episodes of that. We're going to have him on. We've got a lot of great Pirates are coming on, I can say that are administrators, coaches, different things. And you never know in the coaching world what's going to happen. So, but anyway, I want to mention
David,
that.
Is there any truth to the rumor that we're going to have an exclusive with Urban Meyer?
Not that I know of right now. I don't think he's talking to anyone, but I can tell you a coach that we've had on, and we'll get to Urban Meyer in a second. How about the press conference? I want to get your take on from both of you, because we love Joe Dooley way more than we love Urban Meyer. What do you think about the summer press conference for the basketball guys with Joe Dooley announcing the staff? It was a couple days ago, and what was your take? I'll start with you, Bubba. I'll put you on the spot.
I was just saying, so many times here recently we've talked about Joe Dooley and the direction that things seem to be headed with our basketball program. The improved social media presence has been really dwelled on and talked about a lot by us. And then I think this is just one more thing that shows the direction we're headed as a basketball program. And there's no doubt that Joe Dooley and this staff that he's put together is going to build ECU basketball into a winner. I truly believe that. And people need to jump on board now, because I think in a few years, that's what, if not sooner, Minji's is going to be an awfully tough ticket. I was just really, really impressed. Of course, Steve Rocafort, it's the first time we've had a chance to hear from him since he came on board, as well as Rafael Chilius. And I know Steve Rocafort, he had some excellent and very interesting things to say. I know Troy D from Pirate Radio was talking to him, and he asked him about what made him leave a school like Virginia Tech that's in the ACC to come to ECU, and he just talked about the opportunity to do something that hasn't been done, an opportunity to, quote, flip the house, so to speak. So it's going to be awfully interesting when November rolls around in Minji's.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch the press conference yet, to be honest with you, but I can comment on what I feel about Joe Dooley's staff and the direction the basketball program is headed. Loved Joe Dooley, was the right hire. The staff he's put together is top-notch, the best staff we've ever had at East Carolina in basketball on paper. The press conference, though I haven't watched, is a great idea to create some buzz for the basketball program right here at the start of football season. And everything is headed in the right direction. When you make the right hire, when you make the right hire for head coaches, then he makes the right hires on staff. It just makes everything so much easier. Dooley, instead of going in and hiring buddies, and those guys may be his friends, I don't know, he hired, it appears, the best people he could get. And some people that I'm quite frankly surprised came to East Carolina for basketball, and Dooley is selling them. That means they believe in Joe Dooley. They believe in what he can build here. And if he can keep the staff together, I said it before and I'll say it again, we are going to have the best run in East Carolina basketball history. There's just no doubt about it. Crystal ball not needed. When you got that kind of staff, if you can keep them together, you're going to have success.
I know one thing, guys, when you look at top to bottom, Kyle said this podcast or two ago, they all run together now because you guys are tremendous. For me, when I agree with Kyle, and I know Bubba does too, that the question is not if East Carolina is going to be great in basketball. The question is, can you keep the staff together? They're tremendous. All three of the assistants have head coaching experience. How about that? Head coaching experience. All three of them are, in addition to Joe Dooley, are tremendous recruiters. There were people that were worried about that Joe Dooley didn't have a staff. We kept hearing about that. I've mentioned that before, but they have been so far. I mean, they're already doing more with the recruiting than we've had in a while, and they're actually recruiting locally in and in out instead of out in. In other words, trying to keep as many of guys as we can local, and you know, getting those local guys if we can. If we if like Coach Dooley said when he was on the podcast, hey, if we have to go out and go to a certain place to get the best point guard, we're going to do that. And so, you know, he's reaching out to a lot of players. He's got a lot of great things going for him. And he's got all three guys for assistants are tremendous recruiters. It's not like there's a weakest link on the staff that I see. So I know that Steve and I go, we'll give a plug for our good friend at Hoist the Colors. I know that he's pumped up. He's excited. There's a lot of people. I haven't seen, have you guys seen this much buzz for basketball? Maybe you have to go back to 2013 to get when the CIT run. I think you'd have to go back at least 5 years to get this much excitement for basketball.
No, it says two things about the state of East Carolina athletics right now. The fact that there's this much buzz for basketball in late July, early August. One, it says that everybody's really, really positive about the direction the basketball program is going. And two, it shows that there's some hesitancy and still a lot of negativity surrounding the football program. The fact that we're talking about basketball in early August. It's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing, if you know what I mean. It's weird to have this kind of buzz around basketball in early August. But, you know, it should help season tickets. Be glad when that's something I want. Do any of you guys have any inside information on what the delay is on releasing the whole basketball schedule officially? Or are we still trying to schedule some games, finalize some things? Have you, one of you heard?
I haven't heard anything on that. I know that the basketball schedule is going to be way better than we've seen in a while. I love the philosophy that Dooley had. He explained that. If you haven't heard the podcast with us, with myself, I sat down and talked to Coach Dooley. It was back in June. You can a few episodes back. You can check that out. But he's tremendous on he's looking at what he can schedule and what makes sense. And we have league requirements and a whole bunch of stuff. But no, I haven't to answer your question, Kyle. I don't know what the holdup. If there is a holdup, I don't know what it is. But I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see upgrades, and I think you're going to see where the players that we get will definitely help our RPI overall with a schedule, and then where I think we're going to start out being competitive, and then we'll go from there to pulling off some, you know, right now we're at the bottom of the bottom tier, if you will, the American. I think that in year one we have a chance to at least be the middle of the tier. What do you guys think on that?
Well, I don't know if we can get to mid-tier year one. The mid-tier of the American is pretty doggone good. But I do
That's
think
a shot. I didn't say we will. I just said we definitely
I think we'll be somewhere between – I don't think we're going to finish 12th, but I don't think we'll finish 5th or 6th either. I think we have a good chance to fight our way out of the basement. I think we'll finish the best – we have the potential to finish the best we have – in the American. And even if we don't do it this year, it'll eventually happen. With this staff, it'll build. What do you think, Bubba?
I agree. I definitely, just with what we have right now, a few things stood out that I wanted to point out before we moved on to our next topics. While we're still on basketball, I wanted to say one of the things that Coach Dooley said in yesterday's press conference that really stood out was the transformation of the players physically. Just talking about, I think it was either four or five guys who had been over 20% body fat, and now they're, every single one of those guys, I believe, is under 10%, and then the only one that's over 20% is a guy that just came in here 2 weeks ago. So that shows you the amount of running and working out they've been doing and what's going on there. Something else that stood out is, like you're saying, Dave, as far as our recruiting and making sure that we're really going after those local kids. You think of a couple of guys, Kai Bowman, who was from Havelock. That's what obviously has been setting the world on fire the last couple years up at Boston College, a tremendous player in the ACC. And then Tyler May, who ended up going to VCU. And then, of course, he was from Farmville Central. And speaking of Farmville Central, our good friend Steve and I go at Hoist the Colors put it out, I think it was yesterday, that we've offered a young man from from Farmville Central in the class of 2020. I think he's like a 6'1 point guard. His name escapes me at the moment. And then last point is as far as our coaching staff, something that I found very interesting. You don't see it much, but you occasionally see it. And this just shows you the caliber of our staff is we have an assistant head coach and an associate head coach. Now, I can't remember which is which. I think Chilius is the assistant, and then
he's
an associate, and then Rocco Ford is the assistant head coach. But that just shows you the caliber of the guys that Joe Dooley brought in.
Absolutely.
And guys, I tell you what, he was hired on April 4th, 10 days before my birthday. As I told Coach Dooley on that podcast when we had a chance, it was an early birthday present for me, 10 days early. But the guy that hired him is a guest we're going to have on tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have Dave Hart, right, Bubba?
Yeah, that's obviously a move that we were extremely excited about when he was brought on board, his experience at ECU and then also what he did at Florida State, Alabama, Tennessee, just being able to bring somebody that has about 4 decades of experience in college athletics on board makes you feel good at such a crossroads in your athletic department's history.
Yeah, great to have Dave Hart on the podcast. Gotta love everything he did in the history of East Carolina. Hiring Bill Lewis, hiring Steve Logan, hiring Eddie Payne. He was here when we had our best football season ever in 91 with the Peach Bowl, and here when we had our best basketball season ever going to the NCAA tournament. So, Coach Hart, well, I can call him Coach Hart, whatever. Dave Hart. Great to have him back in East Carolina, and I wish he would stay on for the long term, take the AD job, and maybe we'll find out if he did here in the near future.
And there's some rumblings of that, some rumors, guys, I was going to mention. Nice segue. Thank you, Kyle, for setting me up there.
No problem.
He actually is in negotiations. The Board of Trustees and Dr. Cecil Staton are trying to get him to stay. That's going on behind the scenes right now. And, guys, let's talk to Dave Hart. Here he is right now with me. And we had a chance to talk to him recently. We'll talk about that on the other side. And let's go to the interview now. Sports Objective Podcast, and now a very special guest with us. Honored to have the special advisor to the Chancellor, Dave Hart. Dave, thank you so much for being with us.
Dave, it's my pleasure.
You were the athletic director when I was in college, so you always have a special place in my heart. I appreciate the time we want to spend with you. Thank you so much for coming back to East Carolina. First off, it means a lot to have you back in Greenville.
Well, it's been a privilege for me, to be quite candid, because this is a very, very special place, as I've articulated since coming aboard. We raised all three of our children here in Greenville and had 12 wonderful years here at ECU. So when the chancellor called to offer me this opportunity, it didn't take long for me to tell him I would do it and do it with a lot of pride.
And you're doing it well. I'll tell you one thing. It's like that we've had, as you know, troubled times. And since Dave Hart's come back, it's been kind of quiet all over the place. People are very happy. It looks like that. Not that you're the miracle worker, but there's a lot of happy people I know in Pirate Nation.
Well, thank you for your comments. No, I don't have any magic wands, but I do love ECU, and it's good to be back and be a part of what the chancellor is trying to pull together.
I'm hoping you're going to tell me and have breaking news that you're going to stay with us for a couple years here in Greenville.
Well, we haven't had that conversation, but I'm fulfilling what he wants done, and he has been very deliberate, which is wise. When he first reached out to me, he said he thought this would take at least 6 months to do a deep dive, A to Z, into the athletics program, and then for me to present some plans and alternatives for us to discuss that would put us on a path to returning to the days all of our fans want us to return to. Now, don't get me wrong, we've had terrific coaches here, we've had great success here, and we will have it again, Dave. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Our current financial position is a hurdle, but we've been doing a lot of brainstorming on how we can strategically get to a better place financially so we can provide our coaches with resources they need to compete in the American Athletic Conference, which, as you know, but a lot of fans probably don't know just how good that league is. So it's been a complex environment in terms of just gathering all the appropriate data and then collecting it and putting it in a form that we can continue to sit down and visit. And we do that every time I come here on my last day. We sit down and review things in great detail. So I suspect that will go on for a while longer.
Is there a deadline or a time that dive will be finished and where you can, like a report, or is there something that will come out where we could see it?
You know, I don't know in what form the chancellor will want that to be in at the end of the day. Again, we visit frequently, not only on site, but by telephone. So we're in constant communication, and the staff here has been great in terms of their participation in all of this. So I don't have a definitive timetable at this moment, nor do I know in what form the chancellor will want that at the end of the day. But we're barreling down on football season now, and so we'll continue to make these trips to Greenville, which we have very much enjoyed. More times than not, I will pay for Pam's ticket, and she'll come. We have our youngest daughter and husband here, and they run the Starlight Cafe. We have their little boy, our 10-year-old grandson, so Pam's enjoyed spending a lot of time with them.
I wanted to ask you about when it comes to the future of East Carolina. We have the 2019, next year we have the Southside Project. There's a lot of us that, including myself, I'm taking the media hat off and the fan hat back on. I would love to see an indoor practice facility. Is that something that you think we'll be able to accomplish in the next few years?
I do. I think, and I'll put it this way, Dave, as I have, and I've said this publicly and certainly said it during those conversations with the chancellor, when we were in the old Colonial Athletic Association and then Conference USA, things like a training table and indoor practice facility, they weren't even a point of conversation because everyone looked alike financially. And so those things, chartering the games with your men's and women's basketball teams, those things were not issues. They were luxuries at that point in time. But now they're not luxuries at all. They're necessities to compete and to recruit at this level in the American Athletic Conference. So yes, I think eventually that will have to become a reality.
One of the biggest challenges, our athletic budgets, as far as the size of our budget, is there ways that we can improve our revenue as far as bringing money in? Like, I know there are people that have even talked about, there was an idea that I've heard people say about renaming the stadium, having a sponsor for like a corporation paying for that. Is that something that we could do? Are there other ways that we can create more revenue for the athletic program?
Well, a lot of our conversations, Dave, are about creative ways to generate new revenue. Now, as you know, the university is in a major capital campaign. Still in the silent phase, but at some point in time, which is typical of campaigns on campuses or in corporations of that magnitude, but at some point in time, some of these creative concepts that we've kicked around will become formalized. We do have to get into the private sector, if you will. The external path to go into a campaign has already been set in motion. And listen, this is a passionate, prideful fan base. In terms of looking around the country at some of the most passionate fan bases, East Carolina is one of those. And right now, our fan base is a little disappointed, which we all understand, and a little hurt. But they'll be back because of who they are. And that's one of the things I've long admired about ECU, and one of the reasons we felt so comfortable in Greenville. So there's no question that we'll turn over a lot of rocks in terms of brainstorming ideas before we finally move down the road in terms of a strategy.
Wanted to ask you, you've had a lot of great memories in Greenville, I know, coming in the early 80s. Can you walk us down memory lane, some of your favorite times here in Greenville?
Well, I have so many. You don't have time. You'll be driving into the Outer Banks water before I can finish, because I have a lot of terrific memories. But Tom gave me the heads up that you would want to talk about some football memories, and I'll be happy to give you a couple of those. I can recall during the 91 season, you have to remember, and you will, Dave, as a student here then, the bowl picture was totally different than it is today. I mean, you had to have a really, really good football season to even be in the conversation about going to a bowl. And I remember when the Peach Bowl came here to Greenville, I had several conversations with Robert Dale Morgan, who at that time was the executive director, and people like Rod Hovater, terrific gentleman who served on their board. But he came here just to have a sit down. We had a few games left at that point in the season, and he and I had talked many times on the phone. So they came to Greenville, and we gave them the VIP tour, everything about Greenville, everything about ECU, you know, the med school, all the great things that were going on. And they listened and basically said, look, if you can complete the run that you're on, we are very serious about talking to you about coming to Atlanta. At that time, it was the final game in Fulton County before they moved indoors. So here we go. So I sit with Bill Lewis, and I review the meetings, and of course they met with Bill as well, and no pressure, but it would be good if we could stay hot. So they came to the Pittsburgh game. And as you know, that's the day the stadium literally shook. You were, I'm sure, in the stands that day. Well, I was in the press box, and if you'll recall, it didn't look good late in the game. And I look out the press box window, and Rod Hovater and Robert Dale Morgan are walking around toward the visiting locker room, Pitt's locker room. Because what had occurred, we were backed up, if you'll remember. It was third and long, and one of the Pitt players grabbed Luke Fisher's face mask, 15-yard penalty, kept the drive alive. Fourth down, Jeff Blake delivers a bullet to keep the drive alive. All Pirate fans remember what happened from that point on, the two-point conversion with Jeff diving into the end zone. I look back out the window, and they're on their way back. Coming back to the ECU side, to the locker room. Now, I have kidded Rod Hovater about that for a very long time. But then we go to Virginia Tech. And a lot of our fans probably don't even know this. It was never really discussed publicly. But that was a must-win game. They flew a plane to Greenville and picked Pam and myself and a couple others up and flew us to Blacksburg. And so, I mean, I knew in my heart of hearts that if we want to go to the Peach Bowl, we're going to have to win this game, because that's how tough it was to access a bowl like that at that time. So we fall behind immediately. It's 14 to nothing. They're on, I think, the 10-yard line, getting ready to make it 21-0. Greg Grandison intercepts it, goes 95 yards, totally flips the momentum. We win the game. Next thing we know is we go to the airport to get back on their plane, because they're going to come to our home, visit with Pam and I, and they sent somebody out for peach ice cream. And that's one of my favorite memories of football at ECU.
Certainly, I was there in 93 for basketball, for the NCAA tournament. You had a lot of great moments in Pirate history. And, of course, one of the things I always remember about you is that you were able to negotiate a contract with ESPN. And I always brag to people. I know that television contracts are different, but I think it was East Carolina and Notre Dame. We were pretty much the only independents at that time that had their own television contract. Is that right?
That's correct, and that was really good for the exposure, obviously, for our program from that point forward. But ironically, Mike Oresko, who now is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, Mike was heavily involved and was high up the food chain at ESPN at that time, and we brought Mike became a very good friend, he and his bride with Pam and I, but we brought Mike to Greenville for the pig out. He spent 3 days at our home, and I think what closed that deal was getting him out of bed at 6 a.m. to go over and taste the pigs as they came off the grills. But he references that many times. But that was a lot of fun to bring that to closure and see our fans rewarded and proud was a neat moment.
Well, I tell you what, I know that I could talk to you for hours. You've been precious. The time is precious. You've been grateful and appreciative of you coming on with us. And hopefully we can have you back on again in a couple months. And I hope you'll be able to say by then that you're going to stay with us. We'd love to have you back as athletic director. So I know that you can't make that decision now, but I hope that you'll make that soon. And definitely in the fall, we'd love to have you back on.
Well, you've been very gracious, Dave, and I've enjoyed it, and I'd be happy to get back on with you, and you travel safely and enjoy the Outer Banks.
Guys, what a great interview there. It was. Let me just give you the background, okay? When somebody tells you that you can have Dave Hart, you take that interview, right? I mean, wouldn't you take that interview?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So I'm driving the minivan. I'm driving. We're on Highway 64. And they said, you can have him at such and such a time. And I said, okay, great. And then I'm going, oh, my God, that's exactly when I'm going to be in the worst part of the cell phone, the tower, right? So I'm just freaking out. And he actually calls. It wasn't great. He called me back. And actually, the cell phone, the service was better. So I'm doing the interview trying to think. And, you know, it's Dave Hart, so you're trying to give him your undivided attention. In my right ear, in the back seat, I have my son going, he's 5 years old, and he started just a few months going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? So I hope to God that you guys, do you think the interview went okay? Because in my right ear, that's what my wife wanted to kill him, because he's going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? So
yeah,
that's what I had to hear.
The interview went great. I'm glad you didn't run off onto one of those canals in between the Alligator River and the...
Yeah, that's where I was.
In Mann's Harbor. It was a great interview. You did a great job. Dave Hart, obviously, is always good to listen to. He speaks with such passion and such a pro. But it doesn't come across, even though he is a pro, it doesn't come across as BS, old, same thing
right.
Over and over. He comes across as genuine. And it was a great interview. You did a great job. And Dave did a great job also being Dave and Hart, I mean. And, you both did a great job. Both Dave did a great job.
Thank you. And I want to have, can we eat some peach ice cream after that interview? I love that story. That was,
fantastic. Yeah, the peach ice cream to celebrate the Peach Bowl. I'll tell you what, I'd be happy with any kind of bowl celebration ice cream this year. It wouldn't have to be peach. I mean, I don't know. What kind of ice cream do you eat for the Cure Bowl?
I don't know, but I know one thing is that if it's a, I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a new set of tires. I would go to the tire bowl, right?
Okay, all right, that'll work.
Or whatever it is, we'll have to buy each other whatever that is. It'll be fun.
All right.
Next up, Bubba, I know we've got one of the best D-backs we've ever had, especially in the last two decades. And now he actually is, I like him a lot. He's working with IMG, with Jeff Charles, with the Pirate Sports Radio Network. And I'm talking about Kevin Monroe. What do you think, Bubba?
I really enjoy Kevin's commentary. That's what, in addition to his commentary, he normally has a weekly article on Bonesville.net where he takes a look at the keys to the game. But I think Kevin does an excellent job. He obviously has that player's perspective that he brings to the table. And then one of the things that really stands out about Kevin, besides the great job that he does on a consistent basis, is that call that he had back in 2008 against Virginia Tech. When TJ Lee scooped and scored, and he said, no flags on the field, no flags on the field.
Yeah.
That's an excellent call and one that I'll always remember.
Yeah, that's when I think of Kevin Monroe's calls of the game over the years.
that no flags on the field call is just sticks out. I can hear it right now in my head as you were saying.
Yeah.
And I remember after that game on the Skip Holt show, this is back when we still did the coaching shows on Sunday night, I believe.
Yeah.
Skip was talking to Jeff Charles, and they were, of course, recapping the game. And Jeff said when Kevin was making that call of no flag on the field, he was jumping up and down in the press box and just about hit his head, or did hit his head, on the ceiling of the press box there at the Carolina Fans Stadium.
Well, I tell you what, he's definitely got a vertical, and his vertical is definitely a lot higher than mine. That doesn't take much. I can barely jump over a phone book. Probably that's about enough. But anyway, guys, let's go to that interview with Kevin Monroe. And I had a chance to talk to him. Let's do that right now. Here on the Pirate Football Nostalgia Party, another great player, one of my all-time favorites, Kevin Monroe, is now, you can still hear him, with Jeff Charles and Marty Fuhrer, David Horn, and himself, as he's the color analyst for the Pirate Football Sports Radio Network. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be on. Anytime I get the opportunity to talk about, you know, whether it be playing ball at East Carolina or the current teams, just these kind of athletics in general, I love doing it.
Want to start out asking you, by the way, how did you get started with East Carolina? Or I should say the most important question is, love Coach Logan a lot. How did the recruiting process go for you? How did you ultimately decide to come to East Carolina?
Yeah, so it's kind of just a funny story. I grew up essentially in Greenville, not technically, but my father was in the military, and he was from Fayetteville and decided that he wanted to he went to East Carolina and decided he wanted to one day raise his family there. So when he retired from the Air Force, he moved us to Greenville. And so as a 10th grader, I went to Rose High School right there in the same city. And, you know, I had a good high school career in football and was being recruited by several schools, not a ton of big name schools, but certainly I had some opportunities. And so when it kind of came down to it, it was East Carolina and NC State. And East Carolina and Coach Logan just really, you know, put forth the effort. They had decided that they wanted to kind of make East North Carolina their stomping ground in terms of didn't want to let any good players get away. And they had brought in Morris Foreman a few years before. I knew all about him. And so, you know, he came to my house and he brought Coach Chuck Pagano, who, you know, was, you know, coached the Indianapolis Colts for the last several years. And he was a defensive back coach at the time. And they really sold me. And so, you know, I committed there. And I had thought about going to NC State because I wanted to kind of leave Greenville for a little while because I spent the last 3 years there in high school, but they just really made it feel like home and kind of talked me into it, and I'm glad I made the decision.
Talk about, I know there's a lot of great times you had, of course, with the Pirate program. One of the things that everybody talks about is the 100-yard kickoff return. I think that was that against Louisville? My mind.
It was. Yeah, Louisville, 1998, Chris Redmond was the quarterback. We were actually getting beat pretty good in that game. They just they were really, really good. I don't know if you remember the tight end they had, Ivan Green, who, you know, really wasn't a tight end. He was probably, you know, 6'3", 6'4", but he was only about 215 pounds, and he could run, and he was kind of just giving our safeties and linebackers a tough time. And I think he had like 200 yards receiving that game. And so it was a high scoring affair. I think the final score was like 63-49, but it was Chris Redmond and David Garrard going back and forth, trying to make it happen. And kind of later in that game, it might've been late third quarter, early fourth quarter. We were down a couple touchdowns and they were driving, and I hadn't seen a whole lot of action that game. It's funny, with all that many points going up, it just really wasn't a whole lot of action on the outsides. And so myself and the other corner, Forrest Foster, really weren't getting an opportunity to make plays on the ball. But on this one time in the red zone, Redmond decided to try to throw a fade route to his receiver there in the corner of the end zone. And I went up and got it. And when I came down, I was about 7-8 yards deep in the end zone. And Coach Fleming, my defensive back coach, always said, "Don't come out of that end zone if you can't get to the 20. Honestly, touchback gets you to 20. So I looked around, didn't see anybody close to me, and I took off. And I kind of had a, you know, three or four guys, and Brian Johnson and Travis Darden and, you know, guys out front of me blocking. And so I just kept going. And lo and behold, nobody caught me. And, you know, 108 yards later, I'm in the end zone. It was a fun time, fun play.
It was, in fact, speaking of the Pirates, I remember that with that Louisville game, Redmond, I think he threw like 7 touchdown passes. He was an incredible quarterback, one of the best opposing quarterbacks I've ever seen play at Dowdy-Ficklin.
Yeah, we've seen some good ones over the years. You know, just during my time, I played against Redmond. I played against Mark Bolger. He's at West Virginia. The Barnett kid at NC State was really good. We saw a lot of good ones. And so he was one that obviously went on the NFL and then started some games. So it was cool to be able to pick him off.
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask you about certainly one of the things that comes to mind about the receiving core of Miami. I wanted to ask you about the 99 Floyd Bowl. I know that was one of my favorite memories of East Carolina, and certainly at Raleigh. It was kind of strange. We're talking about NC State. It was very strange to see an ECU game in Carter-Finley Stadium be a home game.
Yeah, that was neat, and I still consider that probably my best game of my career. I didn't even get an interception, but I just had a really solid game, and you mentioned that team, and Bubba Franks was the tight end who went on to play at Green Bay for a long time. Reggie Wayne was starting split end, obviously Hall of Fame career. Santana Moss was the starting flanker, obviously started in the NFL for a long time. And so playing against those guys, it was a challenge. I mean, Reggie Wayne ran some of the best routes I'd ever seen, and I lined up against him, probably 75% of the time. And it was a challenge, but they had a good athletic quarterback in Kenny Kelly, maybe not the most accurate quarterback, but he was athletic and he could get the ball downfield, and he just made it tough on us, put a lot of pressure on us, myself and Forrest Foster and the safeties. And so it was a fun game. We were in it, obviously, throughout. We got down early and we fought our way back, and it was just a defensive job is just to keep them out of the end zone so the offense could score some points and get us back in it. And lo and behold, the defense ends up on the field at the end, and we keep them from scoring, and we get a huge come-from-behind victory that was great for Pirate Nation, great for East North Carolina and the flood and all the people had gone through. And several guys on my team lost apartments and lost everything they had, and that's just college kids, not to mention the families that lost everything. And so it was a one day, one evening where everybody could kind of get away from real life and enjoy a great game, and we were glad to put on a show for them.
It was just for me. I didn't lose anything, but I couldn't get back to my place for 2 weeks. I live behind, if folks know Greenville, I lived in the time near Brook Valley Country Club.
Oh, yeah.
And I could not get to my place. And I knew everything was fine with my place. Other people had told me it was okay, but I couldn't get there. And so I had to stay at my parents' house for like 2 weeks until the waters receded. That was a special game. I remember for me, you guys were supposed to come back and you played in South Carolina, and Coach Holtz was nice enough in the future, Coach Holtz of East Carolina, to let you guys stay there. And then you guys actually practiced, I guess, at South Carolina that week. And then you came to Carter-Finley, a very special time. Even it was kind of bittersweet, right?
Yeah, it was actually Papa Holtz, Big Lou. Yeah. It was his first year coaching at South Carolina, and we were their home opener, and we went up there and actually beat them pretty good. I think we either shut them out or beat them like 20-7, something like that. And it was, 80,000, 90,000 people in that stadium, excited about Lou Holtz and what he could do for the program. And we were, we beat up on him. And so for him to say, hey, you guys can stay here afterwards, and for us to have to see the players and coaches kind of in the area and at the stadium after beating them was pretty awkward. But that was it was an interesting time. We found out after the game, hey, the flooding and the hurricane had gotten so much worse, and we just could not go back to Greenville. And so we did end up staying there. And, when you go for an away game, you go for the day and you're back that night. So you stay for one night, you go up on a Friday, and you're coming back Saturday after the game. And so, you carry like an extra pair of underwear, extra pair of socks, maybe, a sweatshirt or something, but you don't have a ton of clothes. And so to find out we have to be there for a week, guys were scrambling, trying to, go to Walmart and get an extra, get some toothpaste and get this and that. And it was a weird but fun experience. We also got the opportunity to practice in Carolina Panthers gear. Carolina Panthers equipment managers were gracious enough to bring us all their jerseys and shorts and all that kind of stuff. So we had practice gear for the week. So that was awesome. And yeah, and then to win that game and then come home and then play Miami at NC State was just a cool deal. And, we started that season off 4-0. And I can just remember Coach Logan coming to the seniors. We had a little leadership committee that he had established, and he came up at the beginning of the season. He's like, look, guys, we got a great team, but we've got a tough schedule. If we can just go 2-2 through these first four games and then, you know, run through the conference, we had a good opportunity to get in a great bowl game, maybe go to the Liberty Bowl. And, you know, what do you think? And we were like, Coach, we want to win them all. We don't want to go 2-2 through these first four. And so, yeah, we start off with West Virginia in Charlotte, and then I think Duke's in there at some point, and then South Carolina, and then Miami. So we start off 4-0 through that gauntlet of teams, and they were all good during that time. And so it was a great feeling. You know, I think we got to 5-0 before losing that first game to Southern Miss that season, ended up going 9-2. Yeah, it was a good year.
Very good year. And I tell you, I wanted to ask you, while we have you right now, what do you think about being the analyst this year? I know that there's higher expectations, especially with Coach Montgomery. Do you think the Pirates can get back to a bowl? Speaking of bowls, do you think the Pirates will go bowling this year?
You know what? I sure hope so. That's kind of my goal for them. I'd love for them to get to that 6-win mark and become bowl eligible. It's going to be tough. You know, back-to-back 3-9 seasons. I love Coach Montgomery. You know, I just talked about that gauntlet that we went through those first four games in 99. Well, one of those games was against Coach Montgomery at Duke. He was a wide receiver, and I had to play against him. So I've known him since then. And then we both spent a training camp with the Carolina Panthers back in 2000 together. And so it's been a long-time friendship. I think he's a great guy. He's a great leader. That doesn't necessarily mean that makes you a great head coach, but I think he can be. And I think he's going to show that he is. He just needs some time. And so hopefully this is the season. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, I think people are predicting 4 or 5 wins, you know, up from the last two seasons. But I think with the talented guy on this team, Coach Blackwell coming in at the defense coordinator's position and upping the level of that defense, I think they can get it done. And so they were in some games, a lot of games in the last couple of years that they didn't pull through. And so they're going to have to show some toughness and reach down with some of that Coach Connor's training and show some toughness in the fourth quarter and pull through. But that would be my goal for them is to get to 6 wins and see what happens from there.
Especially when they're so close in 2015. And I know with Coach Ruff's last season, there were so many games that were so tight. And then it seemed like in the third game of the 2016 season is when the wheels kind of came off for that particular season. And then last year, everybody thought, well, maybe we'll have it. So it's maybe this is the knocking at the door. Now, Coach Logan's third year, there's something about the third year that coaches in the past, East Carolina and different places across the nation, have turned the corner and right the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't, John Thompson, I don't think he ever got his third year, those rough years. But certainly I think Coach Mo deserves it. You know, I think that everybody that meets him likes him, and they appreciate what he's doing for the program. And so, yeah, the only thing that comes next is winning football games. And I don't doubt that he's going to get that done. We just have to give him the opportunity to do so. And so this could be the year. We're still having to recruit, you know, trying to get it grown organically through the high school route, but you have to pull some JUCO guys in there as well. So there'll be some new faces out there playing on the field this fall. And we'll see. I expect them to play hard and be in every game. Who knows how many they'll win, but this could be the year they turn the corner.
I definitely hope so, and we're proud to have you be a tremendous player and now ambassador for the game. And finally, I wanted to been asking the players, want to ask you, well, what are you up to these days?
So, yeah, I'm a financial advisor. I live up in the Triangle, and I just moved into a new house in Cary, working Raleigh. And I work for a firm called CapTrust, and actually our CEO, Fielding Miller, is an East Carolina grad and just made a huge donation to the school business, and now they've named the Miller School of Entrepreneurship after him. And so, wow. The firm is huge supporters of Pirate Nation. The division I work in is a division of professional athletes, and so I invest money for about 75, 80 NFL guys. So I'm around the sport all the time. Talk to a ton of NFL guys, and you know, I try to keep them, you know, from running out of money. You know, they make a ton of money in the first 5 or 10 years after college, and you want to, you know, be with them so that they can maintain it and invest it and budget it and have it for the next 40, 50, 60 years of their life. And so that's my goal day in and day out, and I love doing it.
I know East Carolina, listen to me. ESPN had a 30 for 30 on that. I think it was called Broke. What do you, I'll give you this the final question. What do you tell professional athletes or maybe guys that are listening right now that are really good and have the potential to make it to the next level, to not only college but to the pros? What do you tell them? What do they need to do so they won't get to that point and be a stat instead of being a success story?
Yeah, surround yourself with people that care about you, people that you can trust, and that people that want to see you succeed, and separate yourself from people that are bringing you down, people that are holding you back, people that always have their hands out. You know, it's okay to help out a family member or two when they're in trouble, but those people that always need something from you, that always want something from you, you got to separate yourself from them. And then from there, you got to get yourself on a budget. Having $2-3 million in a checking account and just swiping your card whenever you want, or having an American Express card with no limit is a recipe for disaster. And so you have to get yourself on a budget, find out what it takes to pay your bills and take care of miscellaneous spending, and the rest of it you have to save. And if you can get on a budget and control your spending, you'll be fine. But it's those guys that don't want to be on a budget and don't want to listen and don't want to separate themselves from people that are bringing them down are the ones that struggle. And thankful we didn't have any players on that 30 for 30 broke. And I hope to never have any out there, but there are some guys that don't listen. And because of that, they do struggle. But the ones that do listen, they go on to retire and raise a family and have a ton of money in the bank.
Well, that's definitely, if I ever make it in the radio business, I'll definitely give you a call. How about that?
Absolutely. Look me up.
Kevin Monroe for the Pirate Sports Radio Network, and an outstanding player and one of my Hall of Famers in my mind, and hopefully at some point with East Carolina. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
No problem, Dave. I enjoyed it.
Great job with Kevin Monroe. Wow. We're going to visit with all the guys from IMG tonight. In addition to the legendary Dave Hart, we had in Kevin Monroe. And next up with a sideline reporter, Bubba and Kyle, one of my favorites. In fact, he's one of those guys that knows the game so well. He'd be the guy you'd love to have at the party. Was that really offsides, or was that really whatever the rule is? He knows the rule book very well, and I'm talking about Bubba Marty Fuhrer.
Right. Marty Fuhrer, when I think back to my childhood, unfortunately, a lot of the games weren't on television like they are now. I mean, most of them were not. And so we were listening to Jeff Charles and the Pirate Sports Network, and you'd always hear Marty Fuhrer on the sideline for the coin toss, explaining what the weather was like that day, wherever the game was, and interviewing Coach Logan and Coach Holtz, whoever the coach was, going off the field at halftime and that kind of thing. So a lot of good memories of Marty Fuhrer's work as a sideline reporter from my childhood.
Yeah, same thing for me, listening to the games growing up that weren't televised that I couldn't go to. Hearing Marty on the sidelines, you know, with the weather update to the injury reports, and interviewing Logan when he was running off the field, which sometimes wasn't always the funnest job for Marty. Marty's got a very recognizable voice, and it's very smooth. I've always liked his voice a lot. He does a great job, and kind of probably goes a little bit unrecognized by Pirate Nation. You don't hear many people talking about Marty, but he does a great job.
And he's a tremendous guy. I love Marty. Let's go to that interview right now. Here on the Pirate Football Nostalgia Party, and one of my favorite people from the Pirate Radio, IMG Pirate Radio Network, is Marty Fuhrer, the sideline reporter, and does it all for the network. Marty, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. Football season's coming around the corner, isn't it?
Yes, sir, my friend. In fact, that's the reason why, one of the reasons we decided to have it in July for this party is the fact that it seems like July, you're so close, but yet you're so far away. With it's going to be around the corner, but still not quite there.
Yeah, but you can see it. I mean, everybody's pointing towards the end of August, beginning of September, so it's a lot closer than I think everybody thinks.
That's true. How many years have you been, I've lost track, with the network now? It seems like it's forever. And that's
exactly. It's 25 and counting, and Jeff says it stays until I get it right. So, you know, we'll just see how we go.
We wanted you on. I know you've had various roles, including back now on the field. In fact, you hear Marty's voice if you listen I know for the definitely the coin toss and certainly a lot of the big plays and maybe injuries, you get the coach obviously as well. And one of the things I wanted to mention before we meant the memories is I've always admired how you know the game so well that if Jeff calls down to you and asks you about a rule or what's going on down there, you're Johnny on the spot. In fact, I don't know there's a time when you didn't know the rule or different things. Maybe there has been. If it's been maybe a few and far between.
Well, I appreciate it. I think what works out really well is obviously being on the sideline, you get a different perspective, and sometimes you can overhear what's being said. And, you know, now with the replay official right there on the sideline, if something comes up, I try to position myself where I can at least hear the dialogue or understand what they're going to be looking at. And unfortunately, I think in college football, especially it seemed like last year, there were more replays than I think anybody wanted to see. It kind of slows the game down sometimes. But bottom line, if they can get the call right, I guess everybody's pleased with it at the very end.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, we're coming on tonight, about pirate memories. Are there games that come to mind or crazy calls or different things in your 25 years plus that you've seen? I know you've seen a lot of highs and lows, but a lot of great, more good than bad.
Yeah, I really have. And, you know, I thought about a couple instances, and some may jump out and some may not. To me, one of the first memory as far as a specific game, I think might be a series of games. I remember, you know, early in Steve Logan's years, I guess it was back in like 94, when the Pirates went to the Liberty Bowl. And the first time they got spanked by Illinois, you know.
Yeah.
Illinois just totally controlled them. But then they came back the very next year to the Liberty Bowl, and they win the game in a game that they score no offensive touchdowns. You know, they get the INT, Hart returns for a touchdown, all the Holcomb field goals, and they beat Stanford 19-13. I think what was significant about those 2 years, too, the Liberty Bowl was really on shaky footing. It was a time where, you know, a lot of new bowls were popping up, and some of these bowls didn't have conference affiliations. In fact, the Liberty Bowl didn't at that time. You know, they had an independent playing sometimes a conference champion, or there was a loose association. But the fact the Pirates came down in the first year and put like 35,000 in the stands, and the year they beat Stanford, they had like almost 48,000 fans. And if you talk to people down at the Liberty Bowl, they point to those two games of really solidifying sponsorships and interest in the game on a national basis. And I think the Pirates directly helped, you know, save that bowl and give them conference affiliation. And I'll just remember, you know, it was almost those two games back to back that you got the feeling there was always a time when the Pirates would play a big program, whether it be South Carolina or, you know, in this case, Stanford. Stanford was well respected that year, that you always felt that they almost had to have, you know, kind of like a gimmick play to win the game, where all of a sudden it was during that period in the 90s with Steve Logan that the Pirates had a football team that could just stand up and play you man-on-man and beat you. And, those two games jump out at me. And then on the flip side, I remember the GMAC Bowl where the Pirates had that 37-8 lead at halftime.
Yes, I did.
You know, back in 2001, and, you know, Leftwich came in and Marshall, and all of a sudden they lose 64-61. And you're just sitting there on the sideline looking at this thing, and it was like, you could feel the snowball going down the hill, and it was totally out of control. And, you felt, geez, all they need is one stop, and they never got that stop, and they lost in overtime. So, you know, those are the kind of the postseason games that jump out me, you know, out for me as far as where Steve Logan is concerned. And Logan was interesting because, well, everybody, you know, still knows Steve and up in Raleigh and his radio show. And as you mentioned, my job at halftime is they come and they give you a couple of words on the way to the locker room. Well, Steve would come off, and depending on what the game looked like, he'd give you that stare of his. And it was like, well, you know, we're still going to do it. And it would be nothing for him. It would be nothing for Steve because, you know, he's so intense and into the game. He'd be in the middle of an interview, and the officials would be go running by. And in the middle of the interview, he'd start yelling at the officials. So it was always like, got to remember, you know, Steve, remember we're live here. But, I mean, it was always interesting dealing with different personalities. And, of course, you know, that game at home, that big win against NC State under Logan, where, you know, the biggest crowd at that time at Daddy Ficklin Stadium against NC State, that was a huge memory. And if you jump ahead to, like, 2008 and 2009 under Skip Holtz, and Skip all of a sudden was turning this team into, you know, a defensive mentality, and that was kind of his personality. And they go to the Conference USA Championship game in Tulsa, and Tulsa's a huge favorite, and they win that game 27-24. And then the next year they get to host against Houston, and, you know, Houston's putting up video game numbers, and the defense holds again, and they win that game. And, you know, they're two back-to-back, I thought, signature wins for under Skip Holtz. And, of course, it was after a couple of those successful years that Skip got an opportunity to go elsewhere. So those games stand out under Skip. And how about the first game Ruffin played? I mean, I remember being on the sideline thinking, you know, we thought the game was over. And all of a sudden, again, Tulsa, the last play of the game, and I'm right there in the corner of the end zone, and it's all slow motion. They go up, and they make the catch, and, you know, what a way for Ruffin to start his time at East Carolina. And, I mean, they're just some of the games that jump out at you. And, you know, you've got to mention that game back in 14 when the Pirates hung 70 on Carolina. I think that's got to be on everybody's video reel as far as just memories. But, I mean, it's great. It's interesting because you see the game. A lot of people think down on the sideline you see the game really well. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. A lot of times you're looking through bodies. But what's interesting is you get to hear the sideline. You get to hear the personality. You get to hear the banter back and forth. Sometimes you hear about something that's about to happen. So, you know, we try to give those guys, Kevin and Jeff, a little heads up. So they're looking for things, too. So it's been great. I've enjoyed it. You know, the cold days, the wet days, but my favorite days are, like, you know, 65 degrees and sunny.
That's perfect football weather, as we say. And certainly it's going to be interesting with the talking to David about the press box situation for this year. Next year is going to be awesome with the new Southside project. I don't think I hope it won't affect your sideline call this year, but that's going to be a new wrinkle, right?
Yeah, I think it really will, because, I mean, I think they're still trying to figure out how to put that press box together, because I think it's going to be like an open press box. And what's interesting, especially David will tell you, and Jeff has horror stories, and of course Kevin, if it's below 53 degrees, he's got like a hat and gloves and a scarf on that he's cold. But I mean, we've gone to some press boxes. We used to go to Houston where you had to climb on a roof, and you know, you knew the inspector was never there because they would never pass inspection. And it was just, you know, they had a tent and it rained, and poor David Horn had like 9 extension cords because there was no power up there, so you had to put power from underneath. Sometimes it's crazy. So whatever we have to put up with in Greenville will, I'm sure, be fine. And in a couple of years, it'll probably be one of the best press boxes in the entire nation, certainly in the conference.
It's definitely great that we had to upgrade. It took, 40 years to get a new one, so it's well long overdue. I wanted to ask folks that want to know more about you, what are you doing these days? I know you're in the Wilmington area, I think. Are you doing working for Salvation Army? Is that right?
Yeah, I do. We live in Wilmington. Came down here. One of my previous employers relocated us to Wilmington. We love it. All my kids grew up down here, and my wife, you know, we love the beach area, and it's a long day on game day sometimes. But, yeah, I'm development director, the major fundraiser for the Salvation Army here on the east coast of North Carolina. Much like that they built in the Greenville area, we've got a major construction project that we're going to get underway with down here on the coast. So, yeah, I love it. It's a great opportunity, great organization, and life's good.
Tell you what, I love the port city. Anytime I get an excuse to go down there, it's tremendous. Marty, I appreciate your time. You're tremendous. Good luck on the season. And by the way, I want to mention again, folks, make sure if you have to work like I do on weekends, or you want to sneak your, maybe you're going to a wedding this fall, then what you need to do is get you a great earpiece and tune in the TuneIn app on your smartphone, and you can just dial up the Pirate IMG radio network and get all the Pirate games to listen to the guys. It's tremendous.
Well, we appreciate it, and I'll tell you, when you do it as long as we have, I hope everyone, you know, understands, you know, we really enjoy working together, and sometimes you take for granted what a great play-by-play guy we have here at East Carolina, but voice is just the cream of the crop, and it's just, you know, just not regionally, but, I mean, just nationally, and those that work with him every day, to see the little extra things that he does to just make Pirate football something special on Saturday.
What a tremendous guy, good old Marty Fuhrer, and, you know, he's what I call guys Old Faithful, been doing the broadcast for as long as I can remember, a long, long time, with Jeff Charles and the Wilmington areas we just talked about in the Port City. So I want to give a shout-out to Marty, who is now listening to the podcast, and appreciate him. He loves podcasts, by the way, guys, so he's tremendous. Speaking of tremendous, last but not least, I want to, by the way, before we get to our next guest, I want to give a shout-out to our good friend Jeff Charles. He's been vacationing, and so we didn't get a chance to he vacations up in northern Michigan. We didn't get a chance to talk to him before he left, but he is definitely a good friend of mine, and he actually, guys, he put up with me when I was first starting at radio. I could tell some funny stories at some point. They were not funny then. They're funny now.
Where do you vacation at in northern Michigan? Great Lakes?
I don't know. I've never. We need to ask him that. Maybe we can ask him when he's on the podcast with us. But I'm
pretty sure it was one of the Great Lakes, because so one of the interviews that we're going to be doing is with Steve Cotton, the voice of the Thundering Herd, and he's actually hanging out with Steve Cotton because they did interviews almost back-to-back on Pirate Radio last week.
Interesting. Maybe there's like a play-by-play retreat up in northern Michigan.
Yeah, they're hanging out with Kid Rock.
Look at that,
Chief. I'm saying Jeff Charles is an Ohio native, if I recall correctly. So
yeah, that's where they a lot of people vacation there, or the Outer Banks. So northern Michigan or Outer Banks are big for folks from Ohio. But anyway, wanted to mention the voice, and definitely miss him. Great media days coming up this week, so we want to definitely get folks remind folks about that. We'll have our thoughts about media day next week, for sure, and we'll be able to do that, or definitely when I get back, we're going to be on vacation. So, but anyway, let's now move it right along to David Horn, the producer. He's actually the producer, and he also does a great job as the engineer for the Pirate IMG Sports Network. And guys, I've known David for 25 years. When you make a friend in radio, like I have with Jeff Charles, you've done something, and those guys are tremendous. I'll put them up against anybody. The fact that you have Kevin Moreau, Marty Fuhrer, David Horn, and Jeff Charles together, I don't think you can get a better broadcasting team, and hopefully we can keep them around for a long time as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Everybody does a great job. Don't know David Horn personally, but I know he does a great job keeping the show on the air. If it wasn't for David Horn, we wouldn't get to hear Jeff Charles and Kevin Monroe and Marty call the game. So he does a great job.
In fact, let's go now to my chance to sit down with David and talk to him a little bit about right before the season starts. And we had a chance to talk to him about that. What's the press box going to be like, and his memories of Pirate football. Let's go to that interview now. Here on the Pirate Football Nostalgia Party, we've got another great guest. I tell you what, you won't find it better than David Horn, the engineer for the Pirate IMG radio network. David, thank you so much for spending time with us tonight.
Oh, sure thing, Dave. Glad to do it.
I know that you've had a lot of great memories over the years with the Pirates for many different angles. In this particular case, you helped the voice, and Marty and Kevin and all four of y'all do a great job. I'm a radio nerd to listen to you guys. You've had a lot of experience with great memories. What comes to mind for Pirate football players, coaches, any kind of crazy memories that come to mind?
Well, not any too crazy ones. I think the memory that probably you will be hearing the most about through your whole show And that would be the 92 Peach Bowl and that 91 team leading up to that. I mean, that was just a fabulous season, and all the stars lined up right, and it just was something I think all Pirate fans will remember, and the ones who are younger ones who came along after that, it's such a memorable event that they know all about it as well. So it was just one of those kinds of things that you'll never forget. And we were down there. I wasn't doing the network then. I was working for Henry Hinton at the local station here. And we did an afternoon show from the team hotel and then the game the next day. And then I remember before that, leading up to that, the magical times through the season. I know Bill Lewis had the We Believe craze started, and then there was, after a game or before a game, sometime during the season, there was a song by Kenny Rogers called When You Put Your Heart in It. And he played that for the team, and I found out about that. And so I think it was after the Pitt game, I put together clips, play-by-play clips of some of the big games up to that point from Jeff Charles and the network, and put it to that song. And it's still lingering out there somewhere with those cuts in it. Somebody put a CD out about 15 years ago or so that had a bunch of pirate things on it, and that was on there. But I'll always remember that.
Very special time. And, of course, I was actually a fan, not a student at the time. I transferred in my sophomore year, which is the year after the Peach Bowl. But I was at the Peach Bowl, and what a tremendous game. And to have the factors with the Peach Bowl, they were very smart to put East Carolina and NC State, won't they, David, in that bowl game?
Yeah, I guess a lot of them realized after the fact that it was a good idea. It made a statement for the Pirates. And I think the organizers of the bowl probably had no idea that was a possible outcome. And I think a lot of Pirate fans, as early in that game, didn't think it was going to be the outcome either.
Maybe even in the fourth quarter, right?
I mean, right, yeah. I mean, a lot of people were out, you know, in the traffic jams on the interstates listening to it and wishing they hadn't left, from what I learned later on. I mean, a lot of people left and wished they regretted that big time.
Yeah, they take an early trip back from Atlanta to North Carolina or wherever they are in Pirate Nation, but great game. And I know, are there any recent memories you've had being now that you're an engineer on the network and twisting the dial, so to speak?
Well, there are always some interesting times when you're trying to produce radio broadcasts. And I kind of, you know, I know you have Marty and Kevin on too, so I'll let them kind of talk about the games and the X's and the O's. But some of the experiences of getting broadcast on over the years, there are always some interesting times. We've had a lot of fun going to the Liberty Bowl. I don't know how many times the Pirates have played there, in both against Memphis and in bowl games. It's always fun going to very legendary historic places like that and walking up and down Beale Street. So Memphis is always a fun trip when the Pirates have been there. You know, facilities are not the best in places like that when they're old, but we managed to put the broadcast on. And you know, looking a little bit ahead to this season, you may have been going to ask me about this or not, but the press box renovations are kind of midway through, and so we knew they wouldn't be complete. So we're going to have kind of makeshift facilities as we get into this season. So I'm sure by the end of this season, we'll have a lot of good memories of challenges getting and keeping the broadcast on the air for home games, I can guarantee you.
You remember our last interview together where you knew I was going to ask that question, so we know each other too well, I guess, or you knew that was coming. I was going to ask that very thing. What challenges do you face? I'll leave you with that for the last question. What do you think this year? What do you face this year that you know? I guess, what do you know so far ahead of time? There'll be stuff that pops up, I'm sure, when you get closer to the season.
Right, yeah, little bits and pieces. I'm trying to find out a little bit more about exactly how the setup is going to be. But everything's just going to be so temporary, and it's going to be totally open air, from what I understand. You know, all the utilities and everything, although I'm sure they will be run to meet code and all that, it's all still going to be temporary. So, you know, I, from a technical side, those who are technical and maybe IT people, you know what a UPS is. So I'm just going to have an uninterruptible power source with me in case the power goes out. That's one thing. Little things like that, because, you know, when they go divvying up those temporary circuits they run there, they probably won't take into account how much power the TV booth's going to pull, and so it'll cause our power to go out, you know. I don't want to think the worst, but, you know, you got to prepare for those kind of things, and that's kind of part of the job.
Well, I wanted to tell you, you told me last time, and you had in the last interview, I remember you, and you helped me for tonight. I want to thank you publicly for your help as I'm going to call you the technical advisor for the Pirate Football Nostalgia Party. All your advice, I appreciate it very much. I remember you saying in the last interview that you have to have a backup to a backup to a backup, and we've tried really hard to do that tonight
yeah.
with the party.
Yeah, that's always important. If you do that, then usually you'll be okay.
And the other thing, David, I was going to say is that we were able to come at the venue here at O'Cool's a few hours. Linus Martinez and company let us come. Another thing, I know you said you always want to be several hours in advance, so we did that this afternoon, getting ready for tonight's broadcast. So I learned that from you as well.
Well, good deal. And, you know, as we look forward to this season, I think there'll be some great memories made for the Pirates. You know, how the season will turn out, we'll have to wait and see. I'm not making any predictions. I don't get into the prediction business. I just make sure Jeff Charles, the voice, gets on the air. So that's about my extent of it. And let him and Kevin and Marty offer their commentary. But I think it'll be a great, fun season because there's some great opponents on the schedule. Some pretty decent start times for the first couple of games of the season, so it'll give people a chance to tailgate. So everybody, I encourage them to go into it with a lot of positive thoughts and have fun. Be a Pirate. That's all I can say.
Well, David, I appreciate your time. I know that you're getting ready for the season, and all of us work full-time jobs, and we're you're married. I'm married with kids. You have the four-legged babies, and a lot of everybody is trying to rejuvenate before this time of year. A lot of vacations that have already happened. I know you had to celebrate an anniversary. I'm getting ready to celebrate some time with the family right after this event next week, and I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to be ready when it comes the beginning of September for the Aggies, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you make a good point. A lot of people think that the work that I do on the network with the voice with IMG is my full-time job. I wish it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not. I say, what do you do with all that time in the summer? Well, I'm working. Like you said, we all have everyone else. It is Jeff's full-time job, and it should be. But all the rest of the other three of us, Marty and Kevin and me, I mean, we have very demanding full-time jobs, but we love doing this on the Pirate football weekends and traveling with the team. And it's a passion for all four of us, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a nerd, and I will say this for everybody listening right now. If you have to work on weekends like I do, or you you want to listen to it, I'm so happy that the Pirate IMG Network, you can hear on the TuneIn app, and you can hear that at the stadium on your smartphone. You can be like a nerd like me. I listen to every single broadcast. I appreciate the job that you do, David and Marty and Jeff and Kevin. It's just tremendous. I think y'all got a great nucleus, and I hope that y'all can be around for a long, long time so I can – I'm selfish here, but so I can listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that, and it is true. I mean, there's nowhere you can be if you've got an internet connection. You can hear the broadcast, so that's a good thing. It's no excuse. Everybody – tune in. I know in the old days, I used to work for that team that's in the baby blue years ago. And back then, you know, when TV wasn't as big of a deal, everybody would turn down the sound and listen to Woody Durham. It's a little harder to do that now because of how signals are sent.
Right.
The radio might be way behind the TV or vice versa, depending on how things are done. You get a very different perspective that you cannot get from TV by listening to the description on the radio when you've got a great play-by-play guy like Jeff Charles and the insight and commentary that's offered by Kevin and Marty. They don't just kind of reiterate what Jeff says when they speak. They actually really add significant substance to the broadcast. So, for those who may not listen much to the radio in the past, give it a shot. You'll be amazed at how much of a different perspective you get by listening to the radio broadcast.
Especially when you're at the home games, I found that you can actually, it adds a lot, and you know what's going on with players. It's kind of like behind the scenes that you don't know, even if you're at the games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And one of the things about Marty on the sideline, I know you're going to have him on as well. He knows he's a rules guy. So a lot of times when there's some sort of review going on or some sort of something that majorly disputed over a play, he's able to add a lot of insight in from the rules perspective. And I really have never heard anybody that has kind of the knowledge and the insight on the rules that he does.
I was going to say, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask him when I have him on, is the very fact of the rules. He's like my guy that when there's a controversial call, I have never heard him where he's not spot on. I'll put it like that. In the many years I've heard him on the Pirate IMG Sports Network. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. I appreciate you very much and looking forward to seeing you at the, obviously the stadium, and everybody can find me in section 2. That's where my seats are, right near the Boneyard. I love it. And near about the 10-yard line. Love the student end of the section. Looking forward to next year with the season with the Southside Project. I know we kind of have to just get through the season, and I want to wish you the best for this season. I know we're going to have you on from time to time during the season if you can.
Sure.
I know it's very busy, but good luck here in the summertime, and get some rest, and I can't wait for the first game against North Carolina A&T. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a great start to the season, so encourage everybody to come on out. And if you can't come, then listen to it on the Pirate IMG Network. We will be there and would welcome you in. And you're doing a great job with the podcast, and it's always an honor to be on with you, Dave.
When you put your heart into something, and how about that? He found out that Bill Lewis motivated the kids for the Peach Bowl with that song, and he worked for hours on that very – we wanted to play that because David's tremendous, and we wanted to put that together. So David Horn – did a great job. It's on YouTube. If you want to know where it is, so you can have it. And, of course, you can have this podcast. But when you put your heart into something, he put the 91 highlights together. What did you guys think of that?
It was awesome. I mean, it's, you know, Bill Lewis used that song to motivate the team back then. And clearly it didn't have any adverse effect. No, I mean, it's you know, the song's not really my cup of tea, but it certainly was a big part of the 91 season, so props to David Horn for taking the time to put that together.
Absolutely. We're with those guys. What a tremendous show. I tell you, you have Dave Hart and three of the four members of the IMG Network, and I, again, want to thank Bubba for helping to schedule those. And also, I also want to give a shout-out to Tom McClellan helping us out with Dave Hart. Tom has been on the show, and I know that he's been working hard right now with we'll get up with him in a couple weeks, but he's been working hard with Media Days. He's got that going on and a whole bunch of stuff. And the last couple months, he's been able to help us with Montgomery and also with Dave Hart and more coaches to come. And, guys, I wanted to promote we've got some big-time guests coming up that Bubba and Kyle has helped out with. So let's talk about that real quick before we let everybody, before we go. Who's coming up on the podcast? Tell them.
We got all kinds of people coming. We, as you mentioned earlier, we have Jim McMahon. We have Scott Weatherby. We have Mike Houston. We have Doug Martin, maybe we should say who some of these people are. Scott Weatherby, current athletic director, Eastern Michigan, associate AD under Terry Hollett. Doug Martin, former offensive coordinator under Steve Logan here at East Carolina, current head coach of Mexico State. Mike Houston, head coach James Madison, you know, the team that beat us last year. Who else we got coming on, Bubba?
We got Mark Wharton. He's actually was the executive director for the Pirate Club 2006-2013. He's agreed to come on, and he's
current,
been a
current AD at UT Chattanooga.
Absolutely. We've got him, and we've got some more ADs around the country. We've got great I tell you what, our high school football preview is coming up. That's going to be tremendous. And we have Chris Hughes from the Carolina Preps. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's a tremendous website when it comes to North Carolina High School Athletics. We got that coming up, right, Bubba? A great episode with him. We have a lot of great beat writers, coaches, different things for
Bubba. Who's some of the national media personalities we have coming on?
That's what we're going to have. Tom Luganbill from ESPN wears multiple hats there. He's a sideline analyst, also on College Football Live regularly. He's going to be on to talk about the Big 12 as well as the national picture. We're also going to have Mike Yom from the Pac-12 Network, Dave Revson, formerly of ESPN and SportsCenter, and he's at the Big 10 Network. He's going to be on. We're also going to have Steve Lassen from Athlon Sports on.
How about my our good friend Antonio Castro? He's actually on from Field Steel Magazine. So we've got, there's so many more. We could rattle off names. We've done probably between player interviews that we did for the Nostalgia Party, and currently I think we have, 60 or 70 interviews?
Right, we have a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say, just the Pirate Nostalgia Party alone, we had 40-plus, I know, so... So, yeah, when you factor in all of our previews, which and David's mentioned the FBS preview and the high school preview, we'll also have an FCS preview where we talk to Mike Houston, as Kyle mentioned, but we also talk to Dave Thomas, the voice of the JMU Dukes, as well as a beat writer for North Dakota State. So, and we're going to bring you some interesting angles there from the top teams in the FCS.
Absolutely. That's right. We'll have that all coming up. You can like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ. In fact, guys, we'll call it a night. And for Kevin, Kevin, listen to me, from Kyle from LaGrange, Barber, I can't believe I just said that. Kevin, I had that beat writer's name on my mind. But from Kyle from LaGrange, Barber, and Bubba Rosenbaum, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.